The Bird Golf Academy with founder and president Jay Ewing.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for another Golf Smarter podcast. In many parts of the Northern Hemisphere, as the days get shorter and twilight rates are only good for about 8 to 10 holes, we start putting our golf clubs away and reminisce about the previous season, all the good laughs and great times that we had on the course. But it doesn't mean that our minds should go into storage, too. The Golf Smarter podcast is gaining momentum within the golf industry, and coming up over the fall and winter months, we're going to have some really interesting conversations that keep you hungry for the next time you go to play. Just as a hint of what's on tap, we've got interviews with Robert Trent Jones Jr., a couple of informative programs about Pinehurst, and we'll talk to more instructors from different golf schools and golf academies, including the David Ledbetter Golf Academy. And to start that trend, we're going to talk to the founder and president of the Bird Golf Academy with locations all over the United States. And just to keep you with us, he's got some free golf to give away. Plus, Kenny Nicholson of Edwin Watts Golf will stop by for another of his Nick's Picks. But first, the ultimate golf learning experience is a claim that comes from the Bird Golf Academy, and the director of instruction is Jay Ewing. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you, Fred. It's lovely to be with you this morning.
Your website says that you're the ultimate golf learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you make that kind of claim, and what does that mean?
Well, not only is it a claim for us, but it's a heartfelt belief. It's also our registered trademark. The reason for that is fairly simple. What differentiates our school from any other are two things. One is our format, because we teach only one or two-on-one, meaning one or two students to one instructor at any time. And secondly, it's the person that teaches. We're not a school that's headed up by one famous person, and then you would go and work with one of their assistants being taught a method or a system. But rather, we are a group of individuals that I think, and I don't mean to be immodest when I say this, but I don't think there's the likes of which out in our industry. These are exceptional teachers that have been teaching the great majority of them for over 25 years. So what really differentiates us is our format, and then also who teaches our student. The ultimate golf learning experience is a credo that we live by. So not only is it supported by the two things that we believe differentiate us, but it's also the customer service that's involved, the way we look after our students, and how we approach doing what we want to do.
Many golf academies are associated with, like you said, with somebody's name or with a product, but the Bird Golf Academy is not something that just rolls right to the front of mind. Why did you go with the name Bird?
Well, actually, Bird was a bit of an accident. many years ago when I was setting up the corporation, and you have to do all that tedious stuff like get corporate papers together and present things to both the federal and local governments on behalf of a corporation, I was sitting around with three friends of mine who happened to be, one was a tax attorney, one was a lawyer, and the other person was a CPA. And they were helping me do all the logistics of the company. And so one of the things that you have to do is submit five names that you would like, and hopefully you get the one at the top of your list. But the five names that I had come up with, none of them really liked. They were all sort of generic names for the school. My nickname is Jaybird, or actually shortened to Bird. So most of my close friends call me Bird. And when we were sitting in the meeting, the accountant said, "Well, come on, Bird, think of something." And of course, the lawyer being the lawyer said, "That's great. Let's go with Bird." So Bird is actually a bit of an accident, but it's a microcosm of my nickname.
All right, well, that works. Now, a lot of schools, they go with, you know, large groups. They go with 10 to 15, maybe 20 people over a couple-day period. And you're claiming that the Bird Golf Academy just goes on a 2-to-1 or 1-to-1 basis with your instructors. How do you survive doing that?
Well, when we set out to start the school, what we wanted to do was create something unique and special. And all of us, meaning all of our teachers, PGA and LPGA professionals, of course, we've all taught in a more traditional environment where it was either giving somebody a one-hour lesson once a week or doing group schools type situations. Now, the problem with groups is that once somebody gets stuck, and in a learning environment, you're going to get stuck doing new things or doing things differently. If you're in a group of four, five, six people, no matter how talented the instructor is, they can't help fix that person that's stuck without neglecting the other people. And additionally, we don't believe that there is one method or one system. Group schools, as it were, tend to teach all one method rather going down a checklist. And what we would have you understand is that there's lots of ways to swing a golf club. And those things are independent to your build, your age, your coordination, what you've already learned and how you've learned it so far. So a really skilled teacher, and that, of course, goes back to who teaches for us, all of these people are conversant with several different styles, so they're not put into a box. So they don't have to teach everybody the same stuff. And so, therefore, when you're working with someone one or two on one, you can go at a much smoother pace. The learning becomes enormously accelerated. And because it's such an individual situation, that if you do get stuck, your instructor has the time and the ability to work you through that to help you improve.
And sometimes we'll watch the Golf Academy and think, how can I possibly learn anything when they're just giving out generic instructions? I mean, I think that if you really want to improve your method or your technique, you need to have an instructor to work with you, you know.
Yeah.
And then, so like the Golf Channel is just a microcosm, or actually the reverse of what a group class would be, right?
Yeah, in many ways. You know, I mean, how many times have you seen the cover of Golf Digest and it says, fix your slice?
Every month?
Yeah. That's because 90% of golfers slice the ball.
Okay.
So they're addressing, you know, their market, because somebody obviously is going to pick that up and go, oh, gosh, I wonder if they can help me fix my slice. Well, there's probably 100 reasons that someone's slicing the ball, and those are particular to each person. So all the people that do shows on the Golf Channel, the people whose articles you read in Golf Digest, these are wonderfully talented professionals. This is not to disparage their ability as professionals, because they really know what they're talking about. The problem is they can't see you. So while they might have fixed Joe Smith's slice and they fixed it this way, he might be slicing it for a completely different reason than you do. So basically people keep putting Band-Aids on their golf swing. And one of the things that we sort of jokingly say is that we really want people to read those magazines. We want them to watch the Golf Channel, and we want them to keep putting quick fixes in there, because, quite frankly, that's an annuity.
So I guess you've just ruined my next question.
Sorry, Fred.
Well, I was going to ask you if you could cure my slice.
Only by helping you in live. Yes, I can do it, but I'd have to see you up close and personal.
Okay, well, that's really not my problem, but I'll just scratch that one right off the list here. But you're give me something. I mean, how can you? I look for tips and drills frequently here, and I want to get something out of you here other than generic information about your academy. I want a lesson. I want something that I could take with me.
Well, I'm going to be really honest with you, Fred. I'm not of the belief that there's any such thing as a quick fix as far as the golf swing goes. And we are, as a group of teachers, and I guess since you're talking to me, and me in particular, I'm a fundamentalist, meaning that I think that all things with the golf swing begin pre-motion. And those are four things. That's grip, stance, alignment, and posture. Now, not every grip, not every stance, not every alignment, not every posture has to be the same, but there are certain things that each people have to do particular to them. When we first see someone at the school, those are the first things we look at. And if that's not right, then the rest of your golf swing will be a series of Band-Aids. So the first things are actually the most important things to address are things that don't even involve motion at all. And when we're working with someone, someone needs to establish really good fundamentals for them, and then they can worry about what the golf swing does. So as far as quick tips or little sayings that I could give you, while I'd love to do it, there's really no such thing. And in this game, what we've found is that you will get so much out of it as a student as you put into it, meaning that it's practice, and it's quality practice. It's practice with a purpose. It's practice with a design. And what we tell our students and what the majority of them take advantage of is that once we see them one time, we become their coach. So that when they get home, they can keep sending us video clips or digital pictures of their swing, and no matter where in the country they are or we are, we can keep helping them. And that's how you legitimately improve at this game. It's not by reading a magazine. It's not by picking up some gadget that's going to do something with your arms to connect your arms, or some video that's guaranteed to improve you in seven or by seven strokes. It's by honest-to-goodness hard work and quality instruction.
So somebody recently asked me, okay, wise guy, tell me the fastest way to knock three strokes off my next round.
I mean,
told him to work on his putting.
Yeah, I mean, the short game, very much so. And, you know, it's funny because that's become such a worn cliche, and everybody acknowledges that for the most part. But it's funny how few people actually put it into practice. But people should be practicing their short game, and by that I mean from 60 yards and in, at least half of the time that they spend practicing. And again, when they practice, they want to have a purpose to their practice. One of the things that every golf club has is a professional range player. In other words, somebody that's always out there working on something different, trying to find that magic thing that works, and then they get in a groove on the range, and they hit a bunch of great shots, but then they get on the golf course, and because they've got several different ideas rolling around in their head, once they hit a bad shot, they're lost. So while they look like a scratch player on the range, in effect, they're a 20.
You mentioned that you have people send you video clips or emails and communicate with you once they've gone to your classes. No matter where we are, where are the locations of the Bird Golf Academy?
Well, we have 14 sites around the country.
Wow.
Headed up by our flagship site, which is at the incredible Wild Horse Pass in Chandler near the airport in Phoenix, which is an absolutely superb resort if people have not been out there. And then we're also...
And for those of you in Brazil, that's in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, I'm sorry. and then we have three other locations also in Phoenix, or just on the surrounds of Phoenix. We're actually in Prescott, which is in the mountains a little bit. It's elevated at about 5,000 feet, so it's a little cooler up there in summer. And then Sedona, which is magnificent, at the Sedona Golf Resort, which is really one of the most spectacular golf courses that you'll ever see. Mm. And then at Palm Valley, which is a wonderful facility down here in the valley in Goodyear. And it's a 36-hole facility with a halo and golf course, which is actually perfect for beginners because it's all par 3s and par 4s.
With a halo?
A halo, and I'm sorry, that's my accent.
Oh, Hale Irwin,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
You know, he's a golfer.
I apologize.
That's all right. I drop vowels like they're going out of style, Fred, so I'm sorry. But
you should be on
the
Wheel
other course there, I'm sorry?
You should be on Wheel of Fortune. You can buy a vowel.
I need one right about now. But then we're also in Napa in California.
Where?
In Napa.
I know where. I'm close.
Oh, sorry.
Wait a minute.
Hiddenbrook. Have you played Hiddenbrook very much?
I've played there once.
Have you? It's a great track.
Yeah. I found it to be very hard, but it was early in when I was just starting to play golf, and I freaked out. So
it's a hard golf course because it has lots of ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the greens have elevation.
I felt like it was a lot of target golf, which at the time I was not very good.
Yeah, it's a hard course for beginners, but,
you know,
it actually is. There's a way to play it. Which is obviously something that we teach our students when we're up there.
But I was playing with another guy who was not very far into his golfing career, but he was very arrogant.
Oh,
so
really?
He liked the price. It was expensive.
Right.
And he was like, oh, you know, an attorney. Oh, yeah, oh, I can play this. And he was like, oh, my God, you're killing me, buddy.
Yeah, and he probably played the wrong tees, I would imagine.
Oh,
I'm sure.
He
probably wanted to play the back tees and test himself.
Right. Push himself and push me and then want to
play. It's a much more playable golf course, you know, from the forward tees, but it is also a beautiful facility. So we love being up there, and we get a lot of people coming in from overseas.
We'll talk more about that after the show.
Yep. And the other California sites we're at are, of course, at the wonderful Mission Hills Resort in Palm Springs or Palm Desert.
Which is... right there where we talked to Ryan Wilson just a couple of weeks ago.
And we're very fortunate. We have a relationship with Troon Courses, two of their best courses, because Whirlwind Golf Club, which is the aforementioned Wild Horse, that's managed by Troon, as, of course, are the Gary Player and Pete Dye courses at Mission Hills. And they are a fantastic company to work with because symbiotically they have a lot of similar notions about customer service and the way that they go about treating their guests that we do. So it's a great relationship that we're developing with them. And then we're also at Warner Springs Ranch, which is a little bit of a rustic ranch-type resort just outside of San Diego. It's the home to a mineral hot springs. And the golf course there is wonderful. It's a sort of a retreat, and it's actually a great site for us to work with students because they can really get into what they're doing. And then additionally, we're in Heritage Hills in Pennsylvania, just outside of York, which is the original nation's capital. Heritage Hills is a great little golf resort there with an 18-hole course, and it's very, very pretty. We're in Tennessee, in Crossville, which is a neat little site as well in the mountains, Cumberland Plateau. And then we're also at Jekyll Island in Georgia, which is an absolutely magnificent property. Jekyll Island is steeped in history. The resort itself, or the hotel, the Jekyll Island Club, was originally the home of J.P. Morgan and the Rockefeller families back in the late 1890s. And they built the golf courses. There are now three 18-hole golf courses and a 9-hole links course there that was actually the very first links golf course built in the United States in 1895. And the hotel itself is a national travel and leisure world top 500 hotel, and it's a national historic landmark. So it's just a wonderful place because you go out to Jekyll Island, and when you go out onto the island, it's like leaving the whole world behind you. It's a magical place to get away from it. And then we're also at Mission Inn, not Mission Hills, but Mission Inn, which is just north of Orlando. And that's a beautiful older resort that has two wonderful golf courses on it. That one was recently built by Gary Koch in 1993. Both of the golf courses, the actual original golf course there, was the very first golf course built in Florida. They've just substantiated that and found papers that substantiated it was built originally. Started in 1918. And the resort itself has a Spanish flavor to it in its decorations, beautiful courtyards, beautiful rooms that look out to the golf course. So it's another wonderful place for people to go to work on their game.
So I guess other than your Pennsylvania course or school, they're all 12 months a year?
Yeah, well, actually, and I forgot Colorado, and that's terrible of me to do that because I lived there for 16 years, but we have two sites in Colorado. One at Westwoods, which is just outside of Denver proper, and the other one at magnificent Crested Butte. The Crested Butte Golf Club is an absolutely stunning facility with incredible mountain backdrops. It's a short season up there because you have about 3 months before you have to worry about snow, and then in Denver it's about a six-month season. So, yes, between Pennsylvania and Tennessee, we shut down for 4 months in winter, too, because the winter can be a little bit iffy there. But all of the other sites are 12 months of the year.
Okay. And how long are the schools?
Well, we do 3-, 4-, and 5-day long schools.
Okay.
The school days are in length. They're 6 hours each day, plus lunch, so someone spends about 6.5-7 hours with their professional. And the schools are very customized for each person, so we design the curriculum and work with each individual student on the areas that they want to focus on with their game.
I noticed on your website you had an online behavior style survey.
Yes.
And
yep.
Is that required for somebody to fill out before they go to the school?
Yeah, it's really essential for us and for them, more importantly. We're very fortunate to be able to work with Kerry Mumford. Kerry was, for the lack of a better term, the very first golf sports psychologist, although he has no claim to being a psychologist, but he's really started what has now become an industry. And through his book, which is Clear Key and the Double Connection, it's a profile that's based on your style or your personality. One of the key ingredients in learning is to find out not how we as teachers would give you information, but how you would like it presented to you as an individual. So everybody has a unique style and personality. We get them to do the style profile in advance, and that tells us how they'd like to receive information. So it's a vital learning tool for us, because then we find out in advance how they'd like us to present it to them.
Very sophisticated. So I guess that on your website is, you have a section there called Think Like a Pro.
Exactly, and that's where you can read about Kerry. And Kerry is really a magical man. He has devoted the great part of his latter life to really helping people understand the mental game. And it's such an overlooked thing. I mean, you hear all the time from different people that golf is such a mental game, yet when have you ever taken a mental golf lesson?
Hopefully the Golf Smarter podcast is your mental golf lesson.
Exactly.
We really do talk about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's good because it's such a key ingredient to improving in the game. It's not just about mechanics. It's about how you go about doing it.
No. We recently finished one of our shows with a quote that talked about how mechanics are only 20% of your game.
Well, I think it'd be hard to put a percentage on it.
Oh, of course. It was a lighthearted quote. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely understand it, and I understand, from where it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times, I think one of the things that people do, one of the interesting things, for instance, if we were to go back to the profiling, and to give you a modern-day example, Jack Nicklaus was what we would call an analyzer, and an analyzer driver. And that type of style of person loves to be methodical. In fact, they need to be. So they're painstakingly slow in their approach to doing things, but they've got their own checklist, and they're going to do things when they're good and ready. So to put this into a golf perspective, Nicklaus's pre-shot routine would have been about 40 seconds long, and he would never hit a golf ball until he was ready to. So he was, while Mr. Nicklaus has done an awful lot for the game, I think he's also a little bit responsible for some of the slow play we see out there, because when somebody's the best at something, everybody wants to emulate that person. So if Nicklaus takes 45 seconds to hit a golf shot, or 40 seconds, then I should.
And well, if Nicklaus takes 45 seconds, I should take about 5 minutes.
Yep. Well, and that's what a certain fellow by the name of Greg Norman tried to do.
But what about Sergio Garcia?
Well, yeah, his thing's actually a little bit different. I mean, he's gotten much better with his waggling now.
Yeah, he has.
But Sergio, and that's a good thing, because taking a long time's not his style either. Greg Norman, you see, is a persuader. He's essentially a people person, and they're very fast-paced. So when Greg Norman was coming up, he idolized Jack Nicklaus. So who did he try to emulate? Jack Nicklaus. That's entirely the wrong style for him. He should have been hitting a shot in about 8 to 12 seconds, and he should have routinely done it. And the tragic 96 Masters, when he had a 7-shot lead with, I think, 15 holes to play, if you watched it and you watch it closely and you ever watch the rerun of it, you'll see he took 15 seconds to hit some shots, 45 seconds to hit others. So what's happening emotionally to that person is that they don't have something that they can fall back on, which we now call maybe a pre-shot routine, and they're doing something differently over every shot. And when you do that, thought becomes far too much of what your conscious is. And when you're doing something really well, you don't want to be conscious, you don't want to be thinking about results, you don't want to think where the ball to go. None of this stuff matters. You just want to be able to execute in a calm place. So you need to do that, though, in your own style. And if you're a fast-paced person, you should take 10, 12 seconds to hit a shot. But if you're a slow-paced person like Jack Nicklaus, take 40 seconds to hit one. But you shouldn't emulate people whose styles are different than yours.
Does your academy advocate pre-shot routine?
Oh, absolutely. What we advocate more than anything else is habit, doing something the same way every time. Because the more you do something the same way every time, the less you think. The more you think in this game, the worse off you are. I'll give you an example.
Please.
When you're little, and you and I are probably too old to remember, Fred, when we were little, but if we're looking at our children or grandchildren, and you see them riding a bike at 3 or 4 years old, when a child is first learning to ride a bike, what do they do?
Fall down.
They fall down, yeah. And when they get back up again, where are they going to look and what are they going to watch for?
The ground.
They look at the ground because they don't want to tumble back down to the ground, and they're watching their feet, and they're thinking, okay, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. But then after, and they still keep crashing, don't they?
Well, not my kids, because I actually, you got into a sensitive subject there. The first thing I taught my children and my nieces and nephews, I've probably taught about 12 kids to ride bikes. The first thing I always taught them to do was how to fall down.
Awesome.
And once they felt comfortable in falling over and knew that, okay, if the bike falls, I don't have to go with it.
Right.
They were much more confident in getting on and going forward.
Well, yes. And then after a while, what did they start to do once they got confident?
Looked forward.
Looked forward. They didn't worry about their feet anymore, did
they? They looked at, they looked up.
Yeah, so they did something out of a habit, but they weren't consciously now thinking,
sure,
don't fall, or left foot, right foot, or any of those things, were they? They're just doing it. Similar to walking. When you learn to walk, you fall all over the joint. You're always watching your feet. But even though you and I take walking for granted, I guarantee you this. If you were to stand up right now and walk to the other side of your office and look at your feet, you know what you'd do?
Probably run into the table.
You might trip into something, yes. Because now you're conscious of it. So the point being for golf, when you perform, and this, it doesn't matter in what avenue in life that you're doing, but whenever somebody does something well, they're doing it subconsciously, and that's because they have built a habit that they can do something without thinking. Habits are the result of working on skills, developing the correct skills, and doing something the same way every time.
Fascinating. One of the things that also intrigued me about your website is you have a section there on yoga.
Oh, yes.
Tell me why.
Well, I mean, one of the things, if you look at the evolution of Tiger, if you saw him when he was first a young man coming out in 96 and 97, he was pretty wiry and skinny, and then he worked out an awful lot. So he bulked up, and you'd notice that his upper body was really well-developed, and he was getting very, very strong. He then realized, I think, in the early 2000s, correctly, that golf is not a game of core strength, of huge muscles, but it's much more a game of flexibility.
Right.
Yoga is without a doubt the greatest discipline in the world to increase both breathing and flexibility. It's a wonderful just everyday exercise. But as it pertains to golf, as I understand it, pretty much all of the top players in the world today are practicing some form of yoga or even Pilates, which is a much more aggressive style of yoga.
Right.
We were actually the first golf school in the world to introduce an engolfing yoga program. And that was not coincidentally designed by our director of operations, who is also my wife, but she'd much rather be called our director of operations. Kelly designed this great program. So when we see people, and we only offer it here in Phoenix, but when we see people, we offer them this as in a part of their school. It's not anything additional or anything silly like that. And they can do a half-hour exercise with either Camille, who's our yoga instructor, or Kelly. And they put them through the ropes. And if people would continually do it, it would help them no end, because it really has increased the flexibility of a number of people we work with. And the more flexible you are as a golfer and the more that you can turn, the further you can hit the ball. And everybody wants to hit the ball further.
Yeah, right. Wait a minute. So these photos of the yoga on your website, is that your wife?
That's actually Kelly, yes, my wife. My much better half. But as I said earlier,
I haven't seen you yet, but she looks good doing poses.
Well,
I'm sorry, that was very rude.
I married above myself.
I apologize. That wasn't very nice of me.
Well, the truth hurts, you know, that's all right.
Your staff. You've been talking a lot about them, and you have a section in your website, professional staff. The website, by the way, is birdgolf.com, birdgolf.com, so you can check that out for yourself. Tell me about your staff.
Well, as I said a little bit earlier, you know, I really feel, not immodestly, that our staff is second to none. And we are so fortunate to be represented by some of the best teaching professionals I've ever known in my life. And I've pretty much met all of them or attended seminars where they were teaching, and I've observed everybody. We have, as a group of individuals, some incredible people. Sharon Miller is our national head professional. Sharon was the founding editor of Golf for Women magazine. She was the 1989 LPGA Teacher of the Year. In her 20-year career on the LPGA Tour, she won three times and was consistently top 30 money winner. If Sharon could have putted, she'd be in the Hall of Fame, as she would tell you herself. She's also just an incredible person. She's one of, I think she's the only athlete in the history of Michigan sports, for instance, that lettered in five sports in college, which is incredible in itself. Yeah, and there's just nothing she doesn't understand about the golf swing. What's another magical thing about Sharon is that the minute something new comes out, she's the first person to know about it. Because any great teacher is always thinking that they have more to learn. And that, again, is a universal trait of all of our teachers. Jim Samsing is our West Coast Director of Instruction. Jim was originally in the early 70s. He was the head pro at Mission Hills Country Club in Palm Springs, where they have the Dinosaur. But then he's now been teaching for the last 30-plus years. And in every way, Jim is absolutely extraordinary. He's also been teaching Clear Key, Kerry Mumford's mental approach, longer than any of us have. So is really the acknowledged expert as a professional on Clear Key and the double connection. But he is a teacher without peer. And as is Mary Mills. Mary won a U.S. Open championship. She won two LPGA championships in her incredible playing career. She's actually, since she retired from playing, she devoted herself to teaching. But she's also designed a golf course with Pete Dye's wife, Alice Dye.
Wow.
So she's a multifaceted lady. Mary is in three different halls of fame. And she's one of those rare people that was an exceptional player, obviously, winning the tournaments that she did. But she's the equal as a teacher. Another member of our staff, another phenomenal member of our staff, is Shirley Furlong. Shirley just recently got inducted to the San Antonio Sports Hall of Fame, which is a great thrill for her. She's already in the Texas A&M Hall of Fame, both academically and scholastically. She had a great career on tour and has now dedicated herself to teaching during the last 6 years. Anne-Marie Parley, who's an incredible lady. Anne-Marie has won 28 national titles as an amateur before she turned pro in Europe, which is a staggering amount. No player in the history of European golf has ever won so many. She won, including the World Juniors, where she beat Nancy Lopez and Amy Alcott. She was only the second intercontinental person to play the LPGA Tour full-time. She won twice during her playing career. And like all of our staff, as she has dedicated herself to teaching, she's done that with the same gusto that she had during her playing days.
Wow. Obviously, the credentials are all there for your instructors. And because you do a one-on-one or a two-on-one instruction, it really doesn't matter if you're a beginner or a single-digit player. You're going to get an opportunity to improve, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, because it's very customized, you know, it's very personalized. So people will tell us in advance what they want to do, and that's how we come up with the curriculum for their school. In fact, some of our best successes, though, have been with people who've never touched a golf club before.
Oh, well, that's interesting. That's where my wife falls into that category, and she's threatened to start playing golf. I don't know how thrilled I am about that, but she's threatened to play.
Well, that'd be great. I know Kelly, my wife, who we talked about a little bit earlier, she's sort of off and on about the game. She'd like to be really good, but, you know, she has to work too hard to be able to.
Yeah.
It works with a slave driver.
My wife is a hiker. She loves to just go and hike. And I say, hey, I do too, except every so often I like to hit something.
You know? Well, you know what Mark Twain was, what he called golf?
A good walk spoiled.
A good walk spoiled, yeah.
Absolutely. But, Jay, come on. You got to give me at least one tip before we go today, right?
Absolutely. Well, I tell you,
the
greatest tip that I've ever been given, which is as close to a quick fix as I've ever seen, came from Jim Samsing, and it came from his mentor originally back in the 30s and 40s. But Jim, this one thing will help your putting stroke more than anything imaginable. What I want people to do is I want them to take a shiny, brand-new golf ball out to the putting green, and I want them to focus on the shiny spot of the golf ball and continue doing it until after they stroke it. And then I want your listeners to come back and tell us what they see underneath the ball.
You lost me.
Yeah.
So don't focus on the ball. Now I'm standing up and I'm practicing my putting stroke.
You're standing over your putter.
Yep,
you're
standing
with your putter in your hand. You're over the golf ball.
Yep, yep.
I want you to focus on every ball will have a shiny spot, even on a cloudy day.
Okay, Okay.
Or has a shiny spot. So I want
to focus on that spot. So like when the ball starts moving, don't follow the ball. Just
no,
stay
I want you to focus on the shiny spot and tell me what you see underneath it. And this is a bit of a quiz. Let's see if your listeners go up and do this correctly. And let's give them some sort of prize if they come up with the answer.
I know. My hand is raised. I know.
What is it?
Grass.
Correct, but actually, no, the answer has to be more specific.
Oh.
You're technically correct, but yes, you will see grass, but actually, and it has to do, I'll give you a tip, I'll give everybody a tip. It has something to do with the grass, but the answer I'm looking for is more specific.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to go back to the practice putting green today.
Well, I tell you what, just for grins, let's do this. Let's say the first listener that you have that gets the answer correct.
Yes.
We're going to give them a round of golf on any one of the 14 places that we have sites.
They have to get there.
Yep.
Wow, that's very generous.
In a lot of cases, they might live near there as well.
Okay,
but,
so...
Yep, any of theirs, they can pick whatever site, and we're going to give them a free round of golf at any one of our sites for the first person that comes up with the right answer to that question.
Okay, so go ahead and send your answer to fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com. I will forward them off to Jay.
Okay.
And as they come in, and we'll date and time them. And it's going to be very interesting because I've noticed since we do our giveaways with Edwin Watts Golf, I've noticed that the first responses I usually get are from Australia.
They're going to have a ways to travel, you see.
But they get a free round of golf.
They will get a free round of golf, exactly. Yep.
And that means you're also going to be near the school, so you might want to look into the Golf Academy and book yourself for a couple days at the Academy and then get your free round of golf. I think that you got a deal here. You're not so sure what you just gave away, are you?
I'm probably not. No, I was simplistic in the notion of wanting to give your listeners something for that.
Well, we'll appreciate that.
Yeah,
Go ahead. If you're going to have to, obviously, you can't respond immediately unless you have a putting green in your backyard. Well, you know what? People listen to this on their iPods while they're out practicing. They've told me that in the past. So they might be out on the practice putting green while they're listening to the show right now.
Well, yeah, and I'd be happy to come back and tell you, because I really, without giving the answer away, I want to tell you mechanically what this does for you. But just trust me when I tell you, and I want your listeners to do this, watch the shiny spot of the golf ball. Tell us what you see underneath it. Your putting stroke will improve immeasurably.
Wow. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you one more question.
Okay.
All right, before we go. And not as a teacher, but as a golfer, as a golfer, the best advice you have ever received?
Actually, the best advice I ever got was from my old coach. His name was Alec Mercer. And Alec was in many ways the Australian Harvey Pennock in that the way he taught, he was very simple. He believed very much in fundamentals and working and putting the hours and things into it that you need to rather than any kind of quick fix or methodology. But one time when I was playing in a tournament, and I was actually fortunate enough to be in the lead after the third round, and on the morning, on the Sunday morning, as I was getting ready to play, I was almost hyperventilating. And so Alec told me, he said, "Son, just remember to breathe." And if we'd all remember to breathe when we're playing, we'd find ourselves a lot more relaxed over the golf ball. But just remember to breathe.
All right, Jay, I promise I'll remember to breathe. So that is the Bird Golf Academy. And if you want information or you want to sign up for the Bird Golf Academy, go to birdgolf.com and you can do some investigations. Is there something specific that the listeners should do when they get to the birdgolf.com?
Absolutely, Fred. We'd like to offer you an extended invitation to any Golf Smarter podcast customer or client that if they mention that they came to our school because of you or that they were subscribers of yours, we'd like to offer them an exclusive 10% discount, which is only for Golf Smarter podcast customers.
No, you do this for everybody.
No, we don't, actually. We never discount our schools.
Really?
A special offer that we're very happy to extend to you and any of the people that use Golf Smarter Podcast, because we believe in your product and we think that over the years you're going to develop something really sensational.
Oh, thank you. I'm touched.
Well, so, we're happy to do it.
So there you go, folks. If you want to go to a first-rate golf academy and to get a 10% discount, just mention the Golf Smarter podcast or Fred Green. Don't mention Fred Green. Nobody cares. But mention the Golf Smarter podcast, and they'll hook you up with 10% off. And he's also offered a free round of golf. So, hey, you can't lose here.
It's a win-win, Fred.
Yeah, it is. All right, Jay, thanks so much for spending this time with us. We really appreciate it.
It's
and
my
I'm
great
sure
pleasure.
You appreciate that infomercial that you were just able to give for the last 30 minutes.
Well, thank you so much, Fred. We really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, and we hope to be able to do it again with you.
I hope so.
That'd be great.
All right, that's Jay Ewing of the Bird Golf Academy. Check him out, birdgolf.com.
Golf Smarter now presents Nick's Picks with Kenny Nicholson, sales manager for edwinwattsgolf.com. Kenny keeps us up to date with reviews of new products and new product development. Nick's Picks is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968.
Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Fred. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Before you start your review today, can I ask you a question? And maybe this can be your review. What's the difference of golf balls? I know guys love to play the Pro V1s, and then there's those Nike balls and the Callaway balls, and I just don't know what the difference is when I'm looking for a ball and my kind of game.
Really what you look at is you kind of take the guy's handicap, try to find out what his club head speed is, what he's wanting to try to accomplish in getting the right golf ball for him. There's a lot out there that have a lot of feel differences as far as hard or soft or what have you. And you just try to feel you out and see what direction you want to go in. Are you the type of guy that likes to explode the ball off the tee? Are you the type of guy that likes to have a lot of feel around the greens? And that's the question I would ask you today. You know, what is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for something that's, you know, going to have a lot of feel to it? Or are you looking for something that you're going to just want to bomb off the tee every time?
Well, of course, everybody loves to bomb it off the tee, but can you explain to me what that means about feel?
Feel, I mean, golf balls basically depends on the layer that they use, the inner core that they use. Some are going to have a harder feel and some are going to have a softer feel. When you're on the driving range, you're going to feel a golf ball that feels rather hard. And that's not the type of golf ball that most golfers are going to want when they're around the green. They want something they can kind of feel when they hit it. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Want something that you're going to be able to know how far you're going to hit it around the greens, whether you're chipping or putting or things of that nature. And to me, a softer golf ball is the one that I prefer the most. They make a lot out there now that are, they're considered distance balls, but they also have a soft feel.
So you can get something that answers both questions?
You can, absolutely. I think club head speed has a lot to do with that, though. Your higher-end golf balls, you got to generate a little bit more club head speed because they did slow the spin down with your driver and your irons. Because what they were able to accomplish is a lot more distance off the tee. What, you know, the big buzzword in golf right now with golf balls is, you know, high launch, low spin. And it equates to drivers as well as golf balls. In order to get that low spin with the driver, they had to do different things to the golf ball. And a guy that's not generating a lot of club head speed with the higher end ball is not going to get near the spin that a guy might with a higher club head speed.
So let's see if we can break down some myths as far, and let's look at different levels of golfers, but the myths of what balls are available and what everyone buys, and if that necessarily the best ball to buy.
Again, you would have to ask the question, are you looking for something that has more feel, or are you looking for something that doesn't have as much feel but still tries to accomplish the same goal? I'll take an example. There's a lot of golf ball manufacturers out there that make the same price point ball, but they call it two different things. Example, Titleist NXT Tour and Titleist NXT Distance. Whereas the Tour ball, has a large core, soft compression to lower the spin and deliver, more speed and distance. Okay, so it's going to have a softer feel in it than, say, the Titleist NXT Distance ball, which is going to have a little bit different outer core, so it's going to have a little bit harder feel with around the greens or off the tee, things of that nature. So you got the same price point ball, but you've got two different feels there.
But the ball basically does the same thing?
For the most part, yeah, you've got a little bit different core and a little bit different outer layer, but the ball, for the most part, does the same thing.
Okay, so if, and I frankly, I like the NXT Tour ball, but if I wanted to find a similar ball that may be at a different price point, is there something available?
There is, if you go up in price point. Titleist's next price point is obviously the Pro V1 and the Pro V1X. The Pro V1X is one that you need to have a little bit higher club head speed, or you're not going to get as much spin, so you're not going to be stopping the ball with your long and mid irons like somebody that has more club head speed. So you would ask the question, you know, what is your club head speed? Can you play that golf ball if price point's not an issue?
Okay, so now let's go to the low handicap player. Are they going to want a significantly different ball than the guy with a higher handicap?
The majority of the low handicap players typically like to go with, whether it's the Titleist Pro V1, the Callaway HX Tour, the Nike One, the Precept U-Tri, Srixon U-Rex, something that is designed for the better player in mind. There's not as much left-to-right spin with the dimple patterns that they use. It has a lower spin with a higher club head speed, but still has the ultimate in feel. And that's what that guy's looking for.
What do you think is the most significant impact that technology has added to the newest golf balls?
Without a doubt, it would have to be the outer layer. And to get rid of compression. They didn't get rid of compression, but they quit labelizing compression so much. Years ago, you know, you'd had 80 compression, 90 compression, 100 compression golf balls. The guy really didn't know what he was looking for. Now they pretty much have, you know, one ball for each playability. And also, if you go back to the days of the Bellotta ball, you know, you and everybody out there is mishit that golf ball, hit it thin, and put a smiley face on it, and you got a brand new golf ball that's unplayable the first time you hit it. That's not the case anymore. I think that's the biggest technological advance that they've made over the last number of years.
Is there one ball that is far and away the most popular?
Absolutely not. I think it's just personal preference more than anything. If you take the big four in the golf ball industry, me personally, I get a lot of golf balls from them to try and see what I like. I reach in my bag, I pull out. I know what I put in my bag. One is going to be a particular type golf ball that I like to play. And I'll just reach in there and pull out a ball if it's, you know, whatever brand it is. To me, it doesn't make that big of a difference because it's still going to have the same feel for me. They all, you know, try to compete at the same level. They all do a lot of research and development. And to me personally, it you've got to you just be really, let's rephrase that. I think for some people, they want to play a particular brand, and that's fine. But there are other brands out there that are very comparable.
So we know what we have to choose from, and we, you know, kind of lean towards buying something from one of the big boys. But what's out there that we'd be surprised at how good the ball is that we wouldn't know about unless you told us?
There's a couple of brands out there that you don't see as much of. Srixon is one of them. The URX and the Precept U-Tri, those are two brands that you don't hear a lot of just because they don't have the marketing capabilities that some of the other big brands do. I mean, you hear a lot about the Nike, the Titleist, and the Callaway. But there are other brands out there that I think are very comparable. And, you know, you might want to give a try. You'd be surprised.
Kenny, my last question is about these little toys that you can buy that will write the lines on the ball to find the true center. What are they called, the Check Go or the Check Go Pro from PerfectBall.com? Do you know about these things, and do they really work?
I do know about them, and to just let you know if they really work, try one.
Come on, man.
I have one.
Don't cop out on me.
I have one, and I don't use it that often anymore. It was a great gadget when I first got it. The main thing that I would use it for now is to put a line around the ball. So when I putt, that's how I line my putts up. But you would be amazed that once you put the ball on the device, you have to let it build up RPM so you know that it's getting the true center of gravity. But if you put a mark where the center of gravity is, take the ball off and put it back on and move that mark to another point, another starting point per se, and do it again, you'll see that it'll always bring that mark exactly to the top where you put the mark originally. So it does indeed work and tell you where the true center of gravity is. And the main thing where that helps, I think, so much is on putting, because you mark the center of gravity, and then you put a line around the ball, and then what you get is a more true, straighter roll with your putts.
Well, that's worthwhile.
It is very much worthwhile. It's a neat gadget. When people see it for the first time, they don't really believe it, and then you take it off and do it again and show them and say, hey, look, it does actually find the truest center of gravity.
And you carry that at Edwin Watts Golf?
We absolutely do.
Okay, good. So that's something to check out. And your tip for which ball I should buy tomorrow?
Which ball you should buy tomorrow? It'd be the NXT, because you said you play that and you like it.
Okay, fine. Thanks, wise guy. All right. Well, that's enough of you today. So when we talk to you next week, we'll talk about a couple things, including giving away the OGO Monster Travel Bag,
which is going to be a great gift for somebody out there.
And if you'd like to enter to win the OGO Monster Travel Bag, please send an email to pickme@golfsmarterpodcast.com and make the subject OGO, O-G-I-O, and we'll have our random drawing on our next program, which will be published on October 31st. And then, Kenny, you're also going to tell us what our November specials are going to be offered, correct?
Correct.
All right, that's great. Kenny Nicholson, Nick's Picks, edwinwattsgolf.com/golfsmarter. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
And we end with our quote of the week, which, lucky for me, you submit so I don't have to keep looking for them. If you have a favorite quote that keeps your head in the game, or you just have a favorite quote about golf, please send an email with the subject quote to fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com. And this week's quote comes from John H. Dobbs of Spring Lake, Michigan, who writes that one of his favorite golf quotes is from Harvey Penick's Little Red Book, and it reads, "Playing golf, you learn a form of meditation. For the 4 hours you are on the course, you learn to focus on the game and clear your mind of worrisome thoughts." Golf has probably kept more people sane than psychiatrists. Thanks for listening to the Golf Smarter Podcast. I'm Fred Green.